In 1 Peter chapter 1, the text that was read a few moments ago, verses 13 through 21, indicate that as children of God, we have duties, responsibilities. We are to gird up the loins of our mind. We're to be sober. And we're to trust God. And we are to look forward to the things that He has promised to us. But in the meantime, we must be, as verse 14 says, obedient children, not conforming ourselves to our former lusts. We have a purpose in life as children of God. And that purpose is to glorify our God. I guess I'll just preach my sermon real quick. That's the point that we're going to be talking about this morning. We have a purpose. There was a book several years ago. In fact, I believe it was copyrighted in 2002 by Rick Warren. I'm sure all of you have at least heard a little bit about this book. It's been all over the television. You see it at Walmart. It was a big deal a few years ago. Now, Rick Warren, in this book, had a few good points. But to be honest with you, many of the things that he had to say, they were lacking, to say the least. And in fact, I found one of the things that was difficult in reading the book, the passages that he uses in the book, that he quotes in the book, they're taken from the Message Bible, the Living Source Bible, or some of those paraphrased versions, and they were so loosely paraphrased that as I was reading it, I didn't even recognize the passage. I didn't know where it was. And I would have to look in the footnotes just to find out what scripture that was, because it was so loosely paraphrased. I'm not going to recommend the book to you, but I will recommend the idea to you. We need to have a purpose-driven life. And that life that we live should be driven with our purpose of serving God. We have some important questions that we all ask from time to time. Where do I come from? Where did I come from? Or, why am I here? You ever ask yourself that question? What is our purpose? What are we to be doing? Don't we have responsibility? What are we supposed to be doing? Or where are we going? What's our future? And what should be the most important things in life? Now, if we have the right purpose, if we have established in our own minds what our purpose on this earth is, then these questions are going to easily be answered. For example, where did I come from? Well, we know we came from God. Why am I here? Well, I'm here to serve my Creator. I'm here to glorify Him. And what are we to be doing? I'm to be serving Him. That's what. And where are we going? Well, He's promised me a reward if I'm faithful to Him. If I fulfill my purpose, I'm going to have that home that He's promised. And what should be the most important things in life? The things that are most important to God. And that's the answer to the questions. Those are the answers to the questions. I was doing a Google search, and I typed in the title of the lesson this morning, Living with Purpose, and this is one of the first things that came up, and a lot of similar things to this was found. Living your life purpose. Yes to me. What is life purpose? We each contribute to the evolution of earth while we learn and grow ourselves. We're just part of this evolution of earth. And we grow, and the main thing that we are to do is to say, yes to me. Yes to me. It's all about what I want. That's my purpose in life, they say. I am to find out what satisfies me, what likes me, what I enjoy doing. That is my purpose, to satisfy me. That's the idea that a lot of people have, isn't it? That's the general concept of people of our day. Yes to me. But friend, that's not your purpose. That's not your purpose. Too many just go with the flow. We just fit in with the crowd and we just go with the majority. Of course, Exodus 23 and verse 2 says, do not follow the multitude to do evil. Matthew 7 verses 13 and 14, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. We have to be different from the majority. But too many just go with the flow. That's because they're doing what everybody else is doing. Say yes to me. What makes me happy? That's just, here I go. I'm in the crowd. And too many live for the wrong purpose. They live for themselves. Or they may even be living for another person. They may be living to fulfill another person's purpose for them. Children, we can be guilty of this by living the purpose that our parents have set upon us, whether it's good or bad. That's not and should not be your motivation for living your life. Your motivation should be based upon God's purpose for you. Now, even if your parents' purpose for you is right and good, that's fine. And then you can fit along with that because that means it's going to be in accordance with God's purpose for you. But you're still doing it because it's God's purpose for you, not your parents' purpose for you. Our faith must be ours. Our service to God must be ours. We must serve God for the right reasons. But too many are doing things because, well, that's what they've been told, or that's what they've been taught by somebody that doesn't know what they're talking about. In Psalm 81 and verse 12, the psalmist there makes that point. You know, we need to be people who serve the Lord out of faithfulness to Him, and not because somebody else is doing it or someone else has told us to do it, or not even because that's what we want to do ourselves. In Psalms 81 and verse 12, "So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart to walk in their own counsels." We do what other folks tell us to do, based upon carnal desires or psychology. And we do what we want to do. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, James talks about how they love pleasure, or Paul talks about how they love pleasure more than they are lovers of God. That is their purpose in life. To have fun. A lot of people have that purpose in life, don't they? Let's have a good time. Let's enjoy life. So we're going to drink and we're going to do drugs and be engaged in illicit sexual activity, all because we're lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And thus, they are living for the wrong purpose. James 4, verses 1 through 4. James talks about, where do wars and fightings come from among you? Well, they come from your own members. Why? Because you're lusting, you're fighting. You want to fulfill your own lust, he's saying. You're selfish people. And thus, because you are selfish, you're always fighting with each other. And so, they live to self-gratify. So, too many people live for the wrong purpose. We need to be people who make the right choice for the right reasons, not people who just live by chance. You know, the adage, one day at a time, there is a lot of merit to that. We can only live what is before us. But listen, we're not to just live it as if there is no tomorrow. We are to live today for tomorrow. There is a purpose for today. And we need to live within that purpose. We need to set goals. We need to have our aspirations set on serving God, and we need to meet those. We need to live by making the right choice, not by just chance. And a lot of people, frankly, just live by chance. Whatever comes my way, that's fine. Whatever happens, that's fine. And they really, that's okay. I mean, as far as taking things as they come, I used to work with a man in construction, and he had this saying, you know, "I went to handling at school. No matter what comes your way, well, that's fine. I went to handling at school. I can handle it." And that's good. But there's got to be an underlying purpose, or you're going to miss the whole point of life. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 6 says, "Forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding." We have a choice to make. Are we going to live by the wisdom of men? Are we going to live by material temptations and guidelines? Or are we going to, as Joshua in Joshua 24 and verse 15, "Choose you this day whom you will serve"? And he goes on later in the verse and he says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Make a choice. What is your purpose in life? Matthew 7 and verse 13 again, "Enter ye in the straight gate." That's our choice. So, we need to live by making the right choices in life. Well, our purpose, it all begins with God. What is your purpose? We were first and foremost created by God. Genesis chapter 1 and 2, we find the beginning of the world and all that is in it, including mankind. As God said, let us make man in our image. And God did that. And God created for Adam his wife Eve and joined them together and said that they were to be one flesh. And God created man and woman. And He gave them a purpose. At the very beginning, He gave them a purpose. That was to take care of the Garden of Eden. They were placed in this garden. They were given work to do. And they were to glorify God as as the crown of His creation. But then sin entered the picture. And they were cast out of the Garden of Eden. Man failed to live up to his purpose. And then, as more men came into the world, Cain and Abel, Cain killing Abel, Cain failed to live up to his purpose. And Seth, and as generations followed, we get over to Genesis chapter 6, and what do we find? We have a whole multitude of people, a whole world of people failing to live up to their purpose. And what did God do to them? We were created by God to serve God. Turn in your New Testament to the book of Acts in the 17th chapter. In Acts chapter 17, beginning in verse 24, God who made the world and everything in it, since He is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is He worshipped with men's hands as though He needed anything, since He gives to all life, breath, and all things. He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being. As also some of our own poets, or your own poets have said, for we are His offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art or man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because He has appointed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising Him from the dead. Now, there's a lot in that text that was just read. God made us. God made us all alike. And God gave us duties and responsibilities. God created us hoping that we would search for Him and find Him. And He is not far from any one of us. So if we want to search for Him and find Him, guess what that means? We can. Every one of us can find God. And verse 28 says, for in Him we live and move and have our being. It is in Him that we live, that we prosper. It is in Him that we have all the blessings of life. It is in God that we have our very being. We have our purpose in serving God. And we've all failed that purpose. Every one of us. And thus we find in verse 30, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. We need to find our purpose again. We need to search out our purpose and we need to fulfill it. We were created by God, and thus we need to fulfill our purpose that God created us for. And as you look in verse 31, I want you to think about this. I heard D. Bowman say this a long time ago. D. Bowman talked about the judgment. And he pointed out, as verse 31 says, we're all going to stand before the Lord. We're going to be judged by the man Jesus Christ. Okay, so here you have the judgment. But you know, if we had no purpose, there would be no judgment. For there to be a judgment, there has to be a purpose. There was an inventor one time who invented this whatchamacallit. And this whatchamacallit had all kinds of bells and whistles and little things that, you know, blew sounds. Like your teapot. And it had all kinds of little gadgets on it that did this and that and everything else. And it was entered into a science fair. And the judges came by, this little thing, and they were taking notes and they were looking at it. And The inventor was standing there beside it, and they said, "Well, what does this thing do?" "Oh, nothing. Doesn't do anything?" "Nope, doesn't do anything." "What purpose is it?" "Oh, it's just a whatchamacallit." "Well, what does it do?" "Nothing." "Well, I'm sorry, but you cannot enter this into the science fair because it has no purpose." And the guy kind of looked puzzled, befuddled, and he said, "Well, all right then." So he took his whatchamacallit away, and it was not entered into the science fair. It could not enter into judgment. Why? Because it had no purpose. It didn't do anything. It might have looked pretty and had a bunch of bells and whistles, but it did not have a purpose. Friend, you have a purpose. You know what that means? That means you're going to stand before the God who made you and give an account for how you fulfilled your purpose. We were created by God for a purpose. Thus, we should view our life from God's point of view. We should look at our life, our purpose in life, from God's perspective. We should see things as God sees things. We should look at our life through God's perspective. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20, "For you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Those of us who are Christians, we have been redeemed. We have failed to fulfill our purpose. Thus, we have been cast aside as useless, worthless junk. But then, God gave His only begotten Son, and He redeemed us. He bought us back, and now we have our purpose again, and we must fulfill it. We should view our life from God's point of view. He gave His Son for us. We were valuable to Him. And He provided His Son so that we could glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are God's. We belong to God. We're stewards. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." We should view our life from God's point of view. It's only reasonable that we serve our Creator, isn't it? He made us. But not only did He make us, guess what? He gave His only begotten Son for us. He's redeemed us, those of us who have turned back to Him. He's redeemed us. And so even more so, we should look to God for our purpose. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14, it's summed up very succinctly in these verses. "But hear the conclusion of the whole matter," the wise man said. "Fear God." What is the duty of man? Fear God. "Keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man." This is man's all. This is what we were put here for. To fear God and to keep His commandments. That is what you're here for. That's what God put you here for. Here's the question. Are you fulfilling your purpose? We're entering into a new year. You look at yourself. Last week we talked about self-examination, the need to look into our own lives, and some qualities necessary for that. Maybe you found yourself wanting. Maybe you found yourself that you were slack in some areas. Well, listen, let's find our purpose and let's start out 2009 fulfilling our purpose that God's given to us. Let's do that. Whatever our place is in the body of Christ, let's fulfill it. Whatever our place is in God's view, let's fulfill that. What is our purpose? Well, it is to serve God, as we just said. So living with purpose means that we are to serve God. That's our purpose. We cannot serve two masters at one time, Matthew 6 and verse 24. We can't do that. We cannot hold on to God with one hand and hold on to the world with the other and God accept that kind of service. Friend, it's got to be all of God and none of man. It's got to be all of God, none of the world. It's got to be all of God. We have to serve Him, and Him only must we serve. We cannot serve two masters at the same time. That's impossible. So, are we going to serve God? This is only made possible again by what God has done for us. Hebrews 9 and verse 14. He gave His Son for us so that we can serve Him. This is made possible by what God has done for us. So God has provided a way and a means to serve Him. And it is a choice, as we've said, Joshua 24 and verse 15. This is a choice that we make. Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said there regarding the church at Thessalonica. He says, "For they themselves declared concerning what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." The church at Thessalonica made a choice. They turned away from idols. And you can't continue to serve idols and serve God at the same time. They had to turn away from their idols and serve the true and living God. That's our purpose. Our purpose is to serve God. We are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. In fact, verse 2 says, goes on and it says that we're not to be conformed to this world, but we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That idea of proving what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God is that we demonstrate it by our lives what God has commanded, what is right, what is good, thus bringing glory and honor to our Creator. So we are to give reverence and godly fear as well to God. Hebrews 12 and verse 28. Our service must be with fear, with godly fear, with reverence. It must be in service to God in an honorable way. As John 4:24 says, those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So living with purpose really means that we live our lives for the purpose of serving God. Let me ask you a question. Is that what you're doing? Are you living your life for the purpose of serving God? Is that your purpose? Are you fulfilling it? Living with purpose means that we become like Jesus. A disciple becomes like the one followed. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 25. It's enough that the disciple become like his master. Jesus is not to become like us from the standpoint of His character and His behavior. We are to become like Christ was. Jesus Christ came to this earth. He took upon Himself humanity to its fullest extent, but then He lived a life that was godly, holy, without sin. We are to become like Jesus. We're His disciples. We're His learners. And we become like Jesus. That is our goal in life, isn't it? Don't you want to be like Jesus? The elect are to be conformed to the image of His dear Son. Romans 8 and verse 29 to Jesus. We're to be conformed into the image of the Son of God. Romans 8, 29. We are to imitate Christ. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. Now it's not that we're just to imitate Paul. We're to imitate Paul as he imitates Christ. You see, thus we are to imitate Jesus. Because Paul was imitating Jesus, if we imitate Paul, we imitate Jesus as well. We are to imitate Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, Jesus Christ is our example. In verse 21, who through Him believed, or that chapter 2, in verse 21, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps. Are you imitating Jesus? In chapter 4 and verse 1 of 1 Peter, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Jesus was a man of no sin. And as we are suffering for Christ, we are suffering because we're not yielding to temptation. We're not compromising our faith. That's why we're suffering. Thus we have ceased from sin. We're following Jesus' footsteps. We're suffering for righteousness' sake if we're imitating Jesus. And all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, Paul said. So that also means that we're to put on the character of Christ. We are to not just do what Jesus did. We are to think like Jesus thought. If we think like Jesus thought, if we put on the character of Christ, how is that going to cause us to act? When we become like Jesus in our heart, in our mind, in our spirit, then how will that cause us to act? What is our purpose? We're to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. So that means in character as well. And there are several passages that implicate and teach that point. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on the tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God dwell in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, he goes on and says. But here we have Jesus, the character of Jesus taught as being applicable to us. We must apply these characteristic traits ourselves. We are to be people of mercy, of love, caring for one another. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, having this same mind. We are to have the same mind of Jesus Christ. In verses 1 through 4 of Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul there talks about how we are to act out of humility. We are to act out of respect for one another. We're to have the same mind toward one another. And then verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So we're to take the very mindset of Christ. Humility, respect for others, desire for others' well-being. All of those things are necessary if we're going to have the character of Christ. In Ephesians 5 and verse 2. Ephesians 5 and verse 1, actually, the beginning. Therefore be imitators of God as dear children. So we're to take upon ourselves the character of the Father. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God. We're to put on the character of Christ. So, are you living with purpose this morning? Are you living in such a way that you are steadily becoming more and more like Jesus? Now, I want you to think about that. I want you to listen to me. Are you becoming more like Jesus as you mature, as you grow in your Christian faith? That's your purpose, you know. That is your God-given purpose, to become like His Son, Jesus Christ. And if you're not progressing and becoming more like Jesus every day, you're not going in the right direction. You're not fulfilling your purpose. Now, fulfilling our purpose is not going to happen by accident. Going with the flow ain't going to get it. Just doing whatever comes to your mind in a split second isn't going to get it. Just living one day at a time, taking life without purpose, isn't going to get it. We have to give diligent effort to fulfill our purpose on this earth. It's not going to happen by accident, friend. It requires focused effort. We have to turn to the Word of God. We have to give diligent effort in accurately understanding the Scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God. That word study means giving all diligence. The New King James Version so translates it. Be diligent to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, handling aright or rightly dividing the word of truth. We have to take the word of God and we have to rightly divide it. We have to understand it. And that takes diligence. Are you giving all diligence today? Or are you just kind of sleeping through life like you sleep through some of the lessons? Are you just sleeping through life? Or are you giving all diligence to make your calling and election sure? Our growth in Christ takes diligence. 2 Peter chapter 1, or 2 Peter 1 verses 5 through 10. Give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness charity. Giving all diligence. Is that what you're doing?
We are to walk circumspectly. Okay, we're to give all diligence in our growth, in the growth of our character. And we're also to walk very carefully. We can't just walk blindly through this world. We have to be equipped with the knowledge of what's right and what's wrong, and that comes from an understanding of what God says in His Word. We have to be able to recognize sin, temptation, dangers, and we have to walk carefully. Walking circumspectly. Walking very carefully. Always aware. Always on alarm. Is that the way we're walking? People who walk circumspectly will not wind up over here in sin. Why? Because they're watching where they're going. They're watching for all the warning signs of temptation. And they're staying clear of those things. They're applying wisdom. The wise walk wisely. It requires focus and effort to do these things. Living with purpose. And finally, it takes the right values. Buy the truth and sell it not, the proverb writer says in Proverbs 23:23. How highly do you value what is true? Does it matter to you what the truth is? One of the prevalent ideas in religion today and in our surroundings is it really doesn't matter what truth is. You have all these ecumenical churches out here. It doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter what you hold to doctrinally. It doesn't make any difference, they'll tell you. It doesn't matter. As long as you believe in Jesus Christ, that He died for you and He was raised from the dead on the third day, that's all that you have to believe. You don't have to believe anything else about what Jesus said, what He taught. You don't have to believe any of that stuff. Just the basics. But friend, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that truth is truth. And when Jesus says, the only way that we're going to follow Jesus as Lord, friend, is to follow what He said. How can you follow Jesus as Lord and follow what He said if you don't know what He said? Or if you don't even care about what He said? Do you value truth? Is it important to you? We must value the soul more than everything else. Matthew 16, verse 26. If we were to gain the whole world and yet lose our own soul, what would it profit? What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and yet lose his own soul? What is more valuable than every material thing in this world? All combined, if you had it all, if you had everything, Bill Gates doesn't have but just a little bit of it, by the way. He's a wealthy man, but he just has a little bit of what the world could provide. But let's just say that you had everything that the world had to offer. You had it all. You had all the power. You had all the money. But you lost your soul. Friend, you've lost it all. One soul is more valuable than every material blessing accumulated. Every material, whether it be money, prestige, power, pleasure, all of it combined, the soul is more valuable than it all. Your soul is more valuable than it all. Do you so value your soul? If we're going to live with purpose, with the right purpose, then it takes a proper value system. Do we value our soul more than everything else? Do we value spiritual things above earthly things? Matthew 6, 19 through 21, he talks there about the treasures that man may build up. Okay, we build up all of these treasures that moth and rust and will corrupt and thieves break in and steal. But what about our spiritual life? What about our treasures that we put up in heaven? All right, we're serving God. We're fulfilling our purpose. Friend, let me tell you something. Nothing is going to take that away from you. Lay your treasure up in heaven where moth and rust does not corrode and thieves do not break in and steal. In verse 33, Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things will be added to you. Put God first. Put spiritual things, the kingdom first. Put the church first. Put that above everything else. In Colossians 3, verses 1 through 3, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. And that's what we must do. That must be our value system if we're going to live in accordance with God's purpose. Now, you may want to live in accordance with your own purpose. You may want to live selfishly. You may want to live for what you can get materially or for pleasure. That may be your purpose in life. Well, let me tell you something, friend. I feel sorry for you. Because one of these days you're going to stand before the God of heaven who made you. And you're going to give an answer. You're going to give an answer to Him for not fulfilling your purpose that He gave you. And you're going to be held accountable. You think about that, friend. Are you fulfilling your God-given purpose in life? Where did you come from? God. God made you. God designed you. God gave you your soul that will live on and on and on forever. And you will stand before that God one day and you will give an account to Him for how you've lived your life, whether or not you have fulfilled your purpose. Why are we here? To serve God. To please Him. To bring glory and honor to our Maker. That's what we're here for. And if we do not live in such a way that brings glory and honor to Him, we have failed to fulfill our purpose. And we will be judged accordingly. What are we to be doing? Serving God. Doing the things that will serve Him. Worship Him. Praise Him. Serve others. Encourage others. Spread His Word. Tell your neighbors about Him. What are we to be doing? Living holy lives. Being godly in this present age. What are we to be doing? Serving God. Where are we going? You know what? That's a good question, isn't it? That's going to depend upon the choice you make. You can choose to fulfill your God-given purpose and set that course to fulfill it, or you can choose not to and then stand before God and give an account and be judged. And then there are only two places. All of us are going to one of these two places. Heaven, which is a place of honor reserved for the faithful. It's a place of glory. It is a place of wonderful blessing. It is a place of eternity, for all eternity, being in the presence of God. Does that appeal to you? Or the other option, hell. That depends on your choice. Are you going to fulfill your purpose or not? What should be the most important things in life to you? Well, spiritual things. Godly things. Your soul. The things that God has done for us are so wonderful and so great. He's provided so much. You know, you can reject Him this morning. You can fail to fulfill your purpose this morning. You can turn your back on God. I do feel sorry for you if that's the choice you make. But you know what? This morning you have an opportunity to begin to fill your purpose if you are not currently doing so. If you are not a Christian, obey the gospel. Have your sins washed away. Enter into the family of God through Jesus Christ. By faith, repenting of your sins, be buried with Christ in baptism, being raised to walk in newness of life. Start fulfilling your purpose this morning. If you've once done that and you've fallen away, you've stopped fulfilling that purpose. You've stopped glorifying and serving God. After starting, then you need to start back again. You need to repent. You need to pray that God forgive you. And if need be, you need to ask the brethren here to forgive you. Anything we can do, listen, we want to help you. And we want to encourage you. Won't you come as we stand and sing the song that's been selected?